Ephesians chapter number 5. I mentioned this last Sunday morning. We'll take a bit of a break from our study in the book of Luke and divert our attention to the home from Mother's Day through just a little bit past Father's Day, I think. There's a number of different messages in the series that I'd like to look at, and we begin our look this morning here in Ephesians chapter number 5. The home is under duress, and society today does not understand that if you destroy the home, you destroy society. And I don't believe that it's a behind the scenes type attack. I think it's right in the open, and Satan is doing everything he can to divide husbands and wives, to divide parents and children, to divide grandparents from their grandchildren and their own children. He literally, as the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, he wants to devour. He wants to devour your home. He wants to devour my home. He wants to leave no shred of evidence of what once existed. A lion does not eat with fork and knife. A lion devours. And in the end of the devouring, you cannot discern what kind of an animal once existed. And my friend, understand with me today that if Satan gets a grip on your home, he will devour it. And he will leave no shred of evidence of what once existed or what once could have accomplished great things for Almighty God. Through my years growing up here at FBT, through the years in the ministry and serving the Lord in different locations, there's no place in the country that is exempt from the attacks of Satan on the home. I've sat across from individuals time and again, and they'll come into my office and we'll discuss different things and deal with different matters, and they begin to unfold their story. It's as old as the story of Adam and Eve and the division that came in their home between husband and wife and then between parents and children. I don't need to read statistics to you necessarily, but you know that the statistics are not in our favor as to America returning to the traditional style of God's intended home. We're distancing ourselves from it very quickly. And I'm not surprised that the world is making the decision to walk away from the biblical model, but I am surprised that so-called Bible-believing Christians would walk away from the truth. There is a report that says that families are smaller and less stable, marriage is less central, and cohabitation is more common. The value of children and the values for children have altered, and within marriage, gender roles have become less traditional. Christians view the family as a critical institution ordained by God and frequently lament the current trends, and as it turns out, however, Christians don't always practice what they preach. Four of the five states that lead the nation in divorces are in the so-called Bible Belt. Moreover, a study by the Barna Research Group focuses on religious trends in the U.S., and it found that people who self-identify as evangelical Christians are actually more likely to get divorced than non-Christians. I believe the stats say that 6 out of 10 marriages right now are ending in divorce. And we'd think to ourselves that that's the stat that's only found in secular society, but tragically that stat is almost as true in Christian circles as well. What then is the answer? If the home has left its moorings that are found only in the Word of God, what is the answer for us in having a home that would please God? And by the way, you may have been married for many, many years. You may have children that are now married as well. I believe that the messages on the home are helpful for every one of us. And it may be that I stand in need of help today as a father, as a husband. It may be that I stand in need of help today in the pulpit, but it's also entirely possible that right now you stand in need sitting there in the pew. A number of years ago, my wife and I had some kind of satellite TV, and we received the outdoor channel. And I like the outdoor channel. I would follow some of the things on the outdoor channel, and so I became kind of steadily watching different episodes that would come up. And there was a television show that was put on. I don't think it's still on the air, and they've done any more with it, but on the outdoor channel, and I'm not even sure if the outdoor channel still exists. Maybe they've changed its name and so forth, but a couple of guys put together a television show or a series of shows called The Best Defense. And it was about the best defense for your home and for your life and for your physical well-being, for the physical protection of your home. And so they would, in one episode, for example, they would walk through the nature of your home, and they'd say, okay, if a burglar is going to break in, if a bad guy is going to come in, then here's the things that you need to look at. Here's the items that you need to address. And they'd walk through the what ifs if someone were to break into your home. I prefer the story as is related through the Amish gentleman, and a man broke into the home of the Amish man, and he was so kind and so gracious to the intruder. He said, "Sir, I mean thee no harm, but thou art standing where I am about to shoot." And I like that. I like that description of things. I want to be kind and honest, but sir, when my wife and I lived up in Pennsylvania for 1 year, we rented from a great landlord, my brother, and he had a condominium there in PA, and I had a couple of great signs that I had gotten from my father-in-law, and I loved them. One of them said, "If you are found here in the night, you will be found here in the morning." The other one said, "If you break into this home, make sure that your insurance covers lead poisoning." And I liked them, and so I put them up in the window. Apparently, the condo association did not like my signs. And so I got a note on the door that said, "Please take your signs down." So anyway, I took them down. But there's all kinds of things like that, and we're vigilant in those areas. You know, we're vigilant. Seriously, if you break into my home, pray that I'm the one that's defending the house and not my wife. She's a much better shot. I'm just telling you. Pray that I'm the one holding the defensive item and not my boys, because they're a lot better. And I'd have to put my glasses on. I'd have to clean them. I'd have to do a lot of things. So pray that I'm the one that's defending the house if the burglar breaks in. Oh my, this is on live stream going out to thousands across the country. If we become aware of the fact that bad guys are out there and that they might be in the general vicinity, we begin to take stock and we begin to be aware of our surroundings. I remember one time on a trip in Cagayan de Oro in Mindanao in the Philippines. While we were there after services one night, they had a huge celebratory type parade late in the evening. Darkness had fallen, and there were thousands of people there. It's probably one of the few times that I wasn't scared, but I was a little bit unnerved. Do you know that feeling? And I backed myself up against kind of a storefront that was closed, and I just stood there and kind of observed everything because I didn't want something to come up behind me. And I started kind of taking stock of my personal safety in that kind of arena. And so this show on the best defense goes through how to keep your family safe in the home, how to keep your family safe when you're in the car. And it would go through different scenarios when you're walking out of the grocery store or out of the box store. And they would give examples of what to do when that one approaches you and makes contact and everything like that. Now, I'm terrible at this, folks. I'm terrible at this. My family and I were in Walmart, and this gentleman comes up to me, and he says, "Hey," and I didn't know him. He was a guy much bigger than myself. And he said, "Hey, I need a ride right down the road to this KFC. I live right behind this KFC." And I said, "Okay." And so my boys were there, my wife was there, and everything like this. And so we went out and we got in the car. And he sat up front with me. I said, "I'm going to have you sit up front. I have my boys." Again, remember what I previously have said. My wife and boys were going to sit in the back seat. Remember what I previously said? And so we're sitting there. My wife was the last one out, and she's going to come out. And this guy's name was Jason. I won't give you his last name. But his name was Jason. And so he's sitting there, and we're just talking and so forth. Small town. And he's quite a bit bigger than me. But again, my boys are sitting in the back seat. We're good to go. And all of a sudden, he says, I'm driving up to pick up my wife. And it was just, it was a mile down the road. It's no big deal. And so I'm going to give him a ride and be kind. I'm going to be the kind pastor in the small town community. And he says to me, he said, when I told him I got to go pick up my wife, he says, oh, I just remembered, there's my cousin right there. I'll catch a ride with him. So I was like, okay, whatever, I don't care. So he got out, my wife got in, my boys are telling my wife the story now. Boys, thanks a lot, you know. And so the next Sunday rolls around. We had a number of law enforcement guys in our church. And I said, I'm telling them this story and telling them about this guy. And as soon as I describe the guy, my law enforcement officers are like, I know the guy. I'm like, okay. I've interacted with him several times. Pastor, what in the world are you letting him in your truck for? You should never let someone like that in your truck. I said, guys, it was okay. I had my boys in the back. They were good to go. And I mean, the law enforcement guys are like, Pastor, your problem is you are too trusting. You're too nice. You got to start to see the world as we see it. All of you are criminals. You know, I mean, I'm just kidding. You know, they would say to me, you believe what people say and they're lying to you all the time. And so what got to be funny is I began to ride along on a time or two. We began to see this guy again and again. And his face became very familiar to me, and I didn't give him a ride. But you know, at different times, we can kind of let our guard down. We can kind of just, well, you know what? We'll be fine. Just go, and it'll all be fine. Have a good time. Don't worry about it. But that's what was happening through these episodes is my awareness got better. And I started thinking to myself, well, what would I do at the bank ATM? What would I do in the restaurant? What would I do in the local 7-Eleven in the gas station? What would I do in these different circumstances? And they're seeking to heighten your awareness because there are individuals out there that would mean to do harm against you and or your family. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, to be honest with you, our homes are under great duress this morning, and it is a spiritual warfare. I want to read to you this morning these verses, and we begin to look at our best defense. If I were to come to you with episodes on the best defense for your home, and you were to make application for your current setting, I believe that the items that we'll look at over the next 7 or 8 weeks are actually the best defense for the protection of your home. It is my desire to provide you with the tools that you can have to protect you and your family from the attacks of Satan and his cohorts. Look what the Bible says, begin reading in verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Over the next number of weeks, a series on the best defense for our home. This morning, we look at the loving husband. The loving husband. Let's ask God's blessings upon our time this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak to these dear folks, and I pray that you would help me to convey these truths from Scripture. I believe that we have within the Word of God the best defense against the attacks of Satan. From the moment that that couple has said, I do, they will be under the attack of Satan because he desires to divide and destroy. And he will do his very best with every asset and every tool that's available to him to destroy our marriages, to destroy our families, to destroy our church from the breakdown of the home. I pray that you direct as we look at this best defense issue of the loving husband. Direct me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in this passage, Christ is the example of love, and the church is the bride. The husband is to follow the example of Christ. The husband who truly follows the example of Christ will exhibit a number of different attributes. And I believe that as we walk through these things, they're not only helpful in the moment in which I give them, but I believe in the weeks and months ahead that these can be a help to you in the storms that may come to your home. I believe that this can be a help for all the young ladies that are still seeking to discern God's best for that young man to which they will say, I do. I believe that this can be a help for the restructuring of a home. I believe that this can be a help for the reinforcement of a home. And as we walk through these different attributes, we begin this morning with the loving husband. Is there a loving husband that abides in your home today? It is my prayer, it is my desire that every home would have that husband that loves his wife as Christ loved the church. If we love our wives as Christ loved the church, number one, we will exhibit spiritual direction in the home. Spiritual direction in the home. The head of any organism is to direct for the benefit of the whole. It is my obligation to direct for the benefit of my wife, for the benefit of the two sons that God has given to us. It is my obligation to direct our home for the benefit of the whole. If I'm going to spiritually direct my home, then I have to start, first of all, with the most important spiritual decision that can be made. Men, ladies, teenagers, youth from across the congregation this morning, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Bible says that all of us have been born in sin. The Bible says that all of us deserve to pay the punishment of that sin. There is a wage. There is a price that must be paid. But the Bible says that God demonstrated, He commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, for whosoever, that's anyone that's gathered here today, that shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, today's the day. We're going to deal with a number of matters related to the home, but your home will never be on solid footing until you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the most important decision that you can make. That is the matter that is presented to you here today. Come to me, Jesus Christ. You're not saved by religion. You're not saved by your own righteousness. The Bible says it is not of works, lest any man should boast. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, then we begin right there. But for each of us as fathers that know Christ as our Savior, we should be spiritually directing our home. Well, let's look into the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and let's see what He did. Number one, He guided the church in truth. He guided the church in truth. John chapter 17, verse number 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Men, we ought to be truth discerners in the home. We ought to have wisdom as it relates to the Word of God. We ought to know the Word of God, and therefore in knowing the truth, we detect the counterfeit. We see readily this is bad doctrine. This is bad workings. This is a bad friend. This is a bad companion. This is a bad potential. We ought to have that kind of discernment in guiding our home in the truth. John chapter 16 and verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Tragically, there are many women that sit before me that are far more discerning in spiritual things than their own husbands. And I understand that maybe the wife got saved sooner, and so she's had a longer period of Christian growth. But boy, husbands, we ought to be doing all we can to catch up. Because we ought to be guiding our homes in this area of truth. But not only guiding our home, but also guarding our home. We ought to be guarding the home from error and danger. In John chapter 17, verses 11 through 16, Jesus Christ is guarding those disciples and walking them through the truths that would be out there and the enemy that abounds. Now, I've said to you this morning that in one occasion, I dropped my guard, trying to be kind to an individual, trying to help him with a need at the moment. But I dropped my guard, and thankfully nothing came that was bad for my family, for my wife, for my sons. But I let my guard down. But my friend, how much more is it important for us to have our guard up in spiritual things? And to be discerning into the thoughts and intents of the hearts of others and the impact that it might have on my home. The Bible says that Christ guarded, or that he guided the church, that he guarded the church. He guarded the church to protect it from the forces that would seek to destroy. We're seeking to guard the purity of our wives, to protect against the threat, against her virtue and her purity and her honor. We're seeking to do what we can to protect our children. There have been times where I've interacted with youngsters that have wanted to be friends with our boys, and I will immediately have radar that goes up. And I'll say, boy, I think that individual's up to no good. I think we need to be very sensitive in this matter. I think we need to be alerted because they needed to be guarded. You know, we ought to make the Word of God the priority in our home. Leading in family devotions, leading in our personal devotions, leading in our desire for church. You know, it has been the recurring theme of men to send their family to church instead of leading their family to church. Leading and following God's will, wherever it may be. It is the responsibility of the husband, first and foremost, to provide the spiritual direction for the home. Would you notice number two with me? It's not only spiritual direction, and as Christ provided that direction for the home or for the church, we're to provide that for our homes. It's not just spiritual direction, but number two, it's sacrificial dedication. Sacrificial dedication to the home. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives. This is the agape love that comes only from Almighty God and is only possible as God loves my wife through me. Isn't it interesting that right here in the passage, it nails us as men to the wall. And it says, no man ever had trouble loving himself. Now, I've got to tell you, there are some options in life that abound that are tough for a husband. The wife desires to go see the ballet at the Kennedy Center on the same night that you're given Game 7 tickets to the Pittsburgh Penguins, Washington Capitals. Oh, that's right, they didn't make it to Game 7. Ooh, that was a low blow. But that low blow can only occur once every 10 years, so give me a break, right? What do I do? What would be sacrificial? Honey, take one of the boys and go see the ballet. I'm taking the other one, and I'm going to see the hockey game, right? I'm making light of some things that are very big. sacrificial dedication to the home. What's going to be in the best interest of my wife? What is going to be the best way for me to demonstrate love to my wife? Colossians 3 and verse number 19, husbands, love your wives. Again, men, this is not the love that you and I can create in and of ourselves. This is the love that is only possible as God loves our wives through us. Christ demonstrated this love. He lived it out. He sacrificed himself. He redeemed the church by sacrificing his own life. The Bible says that I'm to demonstrate that kind of sacrificial dedication in the home. Well, how does this happen? It happens in two ways. Look what the Bible says about a man in verse number 29. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. The way that I demonstrate sacrificial dedication in the home is by, number one, nourishing my wife. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Here's what we're saying. What will help our wives grow? What will benefit them? All of us should be looking for ways to nourish our spouse. There are times that we are weakened physically. There are times that we are weakened spiritually. And it ought to be our desire to see them nourished, to be cared for. The second thing the Bible says, they not only nourish, but they also cherish. He nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord does the church. Let me ask you, gentlemen, this morning, how much do you value your wife? The Bible says that her price is far above rubies. It's far above the most precious of assets. The value of your wife is so significant. And I believe that every husband has a responsibility to invest in his own wife. And in doing that, in making that investment, they would easily make their wife their most valued investment. I've spoken at some different couples conferences, and I've used this illustration. It's as though all of us as men are given so many love dollars, and we're able to take from the wallet, and we're able to make an investment with those love dollars. And I wonder if we're taking those love dollars and investing them in hobbies more than we invest them in our spouse. I'm wondering if we take those love dollars and we invest them in friendships, or we invest them with fellowship outside of the husband-wife relationship, and then the time comes for us to invest in our wife and we're literally bankrupt with those love dollars. You know, the Bible says, what I treasure, there will my heart be also. And I know the nature of the story that's given to us there in Matthew, but I truly believe that if we value our home, if we value our spouse, that we will do much to not only nourish them. Hey, they're at a point in time in which they're undernourished or they're malnourished. I need to give it some effort, some investment. I need to cherish. They ought to know how significant they are. Number one, we understand that they need spiritual direction. Number two, we understand that the loving husband should make sacrificial dedication to the home. And then let me give you one more this morning. From the loving husband, there ought to be self-denial for the home. Self-denial for the home. There's spiritual direction in the home. There's sacrificial dedication to the home. And thirdly, there's a self-denial. Would you take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to the book of Luke? The book of Luke. I'm sorry, I said Luke. I'm in the habit of saying Luke. John. Would you go to John chapter 13? John chapter number 13. The loving husband provides spiritual direction for the home. The loving husband provide sacrificial dedication to the home. Men, are you more dedicated to your hobby than you are to your home? Are you more dedicated to your place of employment than you are to your home. This is a challenge for every one of us. But then number three, it's self-denial in the home. Would you look at this story in John chapter 13 and verse number 4? The Bible says, he, speaking of Jesus Christ, riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Would you and I ever stoop down and wash the feet of our spouse? That may not be asked of us. But men, would we step up and exhibit self-denial that our wife might be nourished, that she might be cherished? Will we make sacrifices for something that otherwise we would love to participate in, that we might be sacrificial to our spouse? Would we deny ourselves something that we might do for our wife? Christ took that basin, he took that towel, and he washed the disciples' feet. And my friend, those were nasty feet. And remember this, the God of the universe was willing to bow the knee that he might serve his disciples. Do you know what I trend, how I trend in my flesh? If you do something for me, I'll do something in return. You know that's the nature of my flesh. The nature of my flesh is not to, is never to deny myself, but it's to actually do for others. Every husband should be the model of servant leadership in the home. In this area, I know that there are many wives that put in many hours in a variety of different workplaces. And you're putting in exhausting hours at the workplace, and then you come home and two or three kids have got homework from the day. Dinner's not yet ready, so you take that upon yourself. No, by the way, the five or six, seven people living in the house also need all their laundry done. And the dishes in the sink aren't going to wash themselves. And you know, if I'm not careful, as my wife gives of her time and energy in the participation of the home and adding additional funding for the nature of the area in which we live, I can become so demanding that my wife literally shrivels and is undernourished, is dying. The weight of paying the mortgage, paying the electric bill, is great. And so in some cases it's not just a full-time job, but it's an additional part-time job. Men, when was the last time that your wife came home and some of these things were already done so that when she came home from the exhausted day, she could put her feet up and watch HGTV? I won't give it away right now, but I bought a great Mother's Day card. I won't give it away yet because my wife hasn't read it. It's not ushy and gushy. It's not full of love, but I think it's hilarious. So when she gets home today, she's going to open it You'll hear her laugh all the way through the counties. But it goes right to the heart of what I'm talking about right now. You know, we're in this together. And it may be that she's exhausted from coming in and participating in some arena of life to help sustain the family life here in this area. But what am I doing to help offset some of those difficult things? You see, as a husband, I have the responsibility of demonstrating servant leadership in the home. I'm not shocked that wives and children don't serve, because I think they're watching a dad who only in his mind exists to be served. Most often, they've never seen Christ-like servants in the home. In fact, if you went home today and you were to tell your wife, hey, go ahead and sit down, I'll fix lunch. Number one, she might say, no way, I'm not eating it. But just the thought of the kindness that would be demonstrated to assist, to exhibit self-denial in your own life. You know, if I'm not careful as a husband, I can be all about demands in the home. I want to demand this, I want to demand that, but I ought to be far more about my duty as a loving husband. I don't know if you've realized this morning, and maybe this is the first time in the history of your attendance at church, that you've come on a Mother's Day service and heard a message about something other than mothers. I always found that interesting. Moms come to Mother's Day and we hammer bad mothers. Think about it. Don't we do that all the time? We highlight all that moms are not doing. We highlight all the weaknesses that are there in moms. Well, today, mom, you have the day off. But please, biblically rib your husband. Some of you right now are wanting to just jump up out of the pew. You're wanting to give it the old what for to the husband. You're wanting to say, buddy, we're getting this CD and we're playing it over and over and over again. You're energized right now, wives. But just remember, we're looking at the best defense for the home. And so it's just possible that on Father's Day, I won't speak to them either. Folks, this is not rocket science. Not one couple in this auditorium has the monopoly on a great marriage, because every couple in this auditorium can have a great marriage. It really does come back to watching this episode of The Best Defense. And I believe that the best defense for our homes start with a husband that will love his wife as Christ loved the church. How much did Christ love the church? The Bible says he gave himself. Husbands, please, this is a time and invitation for you and I to look within. Are we spiritually directing our homes? Are we sacrificially dedicated to our homes, investing those love dollars in our wife and children? Will we deny ourselves that our family might be benefited? The best defense starts with a loving husband. Let's pray.